Let's get into some of the 2012 prophecies, some of the work that David put into his new book, The Source Field Investigations, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, David, before we get into some of the 2012 prophecies, I'll let you finish up that story of that black hole that they seem to have found there and what could happen.
This is one of the things that's just so amazing about being able to talk to people as a result of being on Coast and having a website for so long and establishing credibility that, A, people will tell me things and I will hold them in confidence. It's very important not to leak everything that somebody tells you, especially if they're telling you, please don't share this.
Don't share this. Yeah, don't tell anybody.
You have to establish that credibility or else nobody's going to want to talk to you. But I have spoken to people who worked on teleportation and time travel type of projects. And this particular story involved this little thing like a quarter, and you jump through the wall, feet first, and you'd have to hit the quarter as you jumped after you came off the ground, go through the wall, and then let your finger off when you come out the other side. But it's interesting because it did work. They could train people to do it, but then the people would end up getting sick, and they would end up getting organ failure and having these weird health problems.
Jeez.
And they spent years figuring out what was going on. What they finally figured out was that the air in the room was blending with the atoms and molecules of your body when you rematerialized. And although our bodies are built to have it to be sanitary if you breathe air through your lungs, the lungs have a filtration system for toxic particles that are in the air naturally and toxic bacteria and whatever else are in there, which doesn't happen if the atoms of your body rematerialize into the air. So they ultimately discontinued that. So even though there are television shows suggesting that some of these black ops guys can walk through walls, my intel said that they tried that and they could get it to work, but that it had severe health consequences. But
could they get them back?
Yeah. You know, okay. The technology basically involves resonating atoms over light speed in terms of their internal frequency. That's the big, big secret. And there's a nice little trick we make in physics that pays that off, and that is, in Einstein's model, as you go towards light speed, you become infinitely massive. And if you have any of the arch skeptics on your show, and they try to shoot down UFOs, they invoke the scientific version of God, which is Einstein, and they say, oh, well, Einstein said that you will never be able to reach the speed of light because your ship becomes infinitely massive and you gain so much weight that the universe isn't even big enough for you. Well, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but Dr. Vladimir Ginzburg, a Russian scientist, found out that you could flip that upside down, and now as you go towards light speed, instead of gaining mass, you lose mass. Then the question becomes, okay, where is the mass going? And the mass apparently is going into a parallel reality that coexists alongside our own, in which time becomes space and space becomes time. They're in a perfect mirror relationship to each other.
Because the matter itself will never go away, will it?
No. The matter is inverted. You'd asked me before about geometry, and geometry is the secret to quantum mechanics, and it's also the secret to popping through dematerialization. Ultimately, we're not dealing with particles in the atom. We're dealing with vibrations, if you will, or pulsations in a fluid. So the model, in short, is that gravity is a fluid-like energy throughout the whole universe. It's not fluid-like in a way that we can directly measure, because gravity is essentially a hyperdimensional energy. It's flowing into the Earth to make the Earth exist. Every atom on Earth is the product of a flow that's going into it, that's flowing into the Earth. And so gravity is actually pushing us down in a river of energy. But then you say, well, if it's water-like, if it's fluid-like, how is it making individual atoms? If you vibrate a fluid at perfect sound frequencies, like the white keys in the piano, these beautiful geometric patterns show up in the water. If you have any sand particles or any little tiny particles in the water, they assemble into geometry. So that's the big secret about the geometry thing, is that the universe is built to make this geometry happen on a quantum level. The physicist who discovered this was one of the original guys on the Manhattan Project. So he invented the nuclear bomb with a few other scientists. And in the 1980s, he discovered that quantum physics is all based on geometry, but nobody paid attention to him because he was getting too close to stuff that was highly classified. But there's this whole 21st Century Science and Technology magazine run by Lyndon LaRouche that talks about this. And the problem is that until we start to use that science, we are forsaking the ability to use teleportation, the ability to use free energy, the ability to nullify gravity. All of these things become possible once we understand what matter is and how it's built.
David, the work that you've been doing, of course, and you've done quite a lot of work into these 2012 prophecies that you highlight in the source field investigations. You and I have been on several panels about 2012. We're coming up on it. It's getting closer. A little more than a year, we'll be there.
Yep.
What have you had any change of heart from some of the things we've talked about in the past, or are you still going straight forward with this?
Well, the only change of heart that I've had would be a refinement of what I've already put together in terms of it being a scientific model. Obviously, because it is an investigation, I'm willing to allow new data to steer the discussion. Some of that new data, as I was already describing, is the original prophecies of end times that go back to Zoroastrianism, as I found out, and how that predicted end time, they said, would be the changing of the flow of time and this arrival into a golden age. So there's also some very compelling evidence that the extraterrestrials are not really alien-looking at all, that they're human, that the human form is a galactic template. It's an emergent phenomenon in quantum mechanics, and that there is a lot more to being human than the level that we have reached on this planet. Now, some would assume that if there is a possibility of evolving into an ascended human being, if you will, that that could happen randomly and sporadically across gulfs of time that could span thousands of years. But what we hear from these extraterrestrial humans in various sources, including ancient prophecies, and I go through that extensively in the book, is that human beings apparently go through sudden energetic springboards that radically transforms human evolution into some sort of light being. And interestingly enough, many, many ancient cultures have documentation about this. And if you go into Tibet and India, there's 160,000 documented cases of people transforming their bodies into light at the end of their life.
160,000?
160,000. So we could argue all day long about the Shroud of Turin. Is it really Jesus' body burned into the shroud? Was the body levitating? Why is it a three-dimensional photographic negative burned into the shroud? Forget all that. You got 159,999 cases left to debunk, if you can debunk that one.
Why is 2012 so important, David? Why this date?
Apparently, the way this whole thing works is that there are energetic shifts that change the basic nature of how time runs. The flow of time actually changes, and we get propelled into the next level of human evolution. The way that the cosmic plan is set up is that you have a star which has planets orbiting it, and they're on a fixed timeline, so the planet has to go through an energetic shift at the striking of the hour on the clock, whenever that striking is. Many, many different ancient cultures independently spoke about, in fact, dozens of ancient cultures spoke about this grand cycle of 25,000 years, which is a wobble in the Earth's axis called the precession of the equinoxes. And that's been documented by Graham Hancock. He's going to be at Awaken Aware in Orange County coming up next month. You're going to be there. George Hoagland's going to be there. Sean David Morton, everybody, a lot of people are going to be there. Anyway, Hancock really broke this out into the mainstream, but I don't think people really have gotten what he said, because you have dozens of cultures around the world in all different geographically isolated regions who all have the same myth. And the myth is encoding a 25,000-year cycle in the Earth through various means, and I go through some of that in this free video you can watch online. Just Google the Source Field Investigations, and you'll find it on Google, on YouTube, rather. This whole prophecy says that there is some cataclysmic activity, which we're experiencing now, but that we get propelled into a golden age where people have ascended ability. And you look at all these Hollywood movies, and they're showing people levitating. Last night, I was watching with my girlfriend The Last Airbender by M. Night Shyamalan. Beautiful movie. I don't know why people hated on it so much.
They did, too.
The visuals are gorgeous. And there's just all this kind of stuff coming out. The Matrix, classic example. And I believe that this is not fiction, that the reason why this resonates with us so deeply is that on some pre-verbal level, we all know that this is where it's going. So again, the bottom line is apparently that human beings have evolved throughout the galaxy all over the place. It's a very common design. It's written into quantum mechanics. It's not Darwinian random evolution at all. It's a programmed evolution to be human. God made man in his image. That's one of the things the Bible says. Well, man, if you will, is all over the place. It's not just here on Earth. So that form transforms. And again, I hate to use a lot of Christianity, but I know a lot of your listeners have a Judeo-Christian background. Jesus apparently was a way shower to get us ready for what was going to happen to us. And I think that has been totally lost because people want to say, well, he was the Son of God. And I'm saying, Jesus is showing you what you're capable of. There's 160,000 people who did this in Tibet and India. In fact, in the book, I talk about Catholic missionaries who were over there in Tibet and witnessed people ascending. His name was Father Tiso, one of the guys, and he said, I would like to do a scientific study of this phenomenon so that Christians can learn how this natural process of human evolution happens and how the Tibetan spiritual practices could be incorporated into Christianity to help more Christians be able to attain the same thing. So the actual Chinese government has witnessed people and documented the process of people transforming into light body at the end of their life.
Well, it happens. There's no doubt.
Yeah. This is not something I'm making up.
Is this what some people would call the ectoplasm?
Absolutely. If you have a body in time space in this parallel reality, and then you project yourself into our reality, you leave behind a residue. There's a visible residue, and in some cases, there's actually a sort of effluence that comes out, a goo, if you will. That's the result of this transfer from one reality into another. That's been documented by parapsychologists for a long time. This book is like an encyclopedia, and it's crazy how many times I refer back to it. But one of the things that's in there is a study that was done by the American Society for Psychical Research, in which they looked at poltergeist sightings and combined that with data on geomagnetic fault lines where the earthquakes happen. And they found that poltergeist activity always clusters around earthquake fault lines and during times of the highest solar activity. So it appears that the Earth's natural energy fields where the earthquakes happen couple with the sun, and that extra burst of solar energy and the extra burst of energy around where the fault lines are combine together to give you that springboard that can allow this veil between realities to thin so that ghosts can pop into our existence.
This date of December 21st, what's so ominous about that specific date?
Well, I don't think there's anything ominous about it, except that it's the time where the shift actually happens. And again, you can't quantify it exactly down to the day, but remember now, this goes way back in terms of shows we've done, George, but one of the things I remember talking to you about before is this man I met who actually worked on the Montauk Project, which again, I thought was nonsense. But the basic idea is that Brookhaven Labs, and I might be talking out of school by dropping the name, but there it is. Brookhaven Labs took a UFO seat that they got from one of these crashes like Roswell. It wasn't Roswell, but it was a similar one. And they tried to back engineer it with IBM and Motorola. That prototype didn't work. They had to use the original. But they hooked it up to a power supply, and they found that if a person sat in the chair, that the chair would harmonize with your psychic energy. And I could go into a lot of detail about how that works. But the point is that if you visualized a particular place, a vortex would appear in the room that would take you to that place. And apparently this was used in the UFO so that the occupant of the UFO would visualize where they want to go, and a wormhole opens up in front of their ship and they fly there. But what they found was that it not only took you through space, it could take you through time. So the person running the chair could think about a point in the future, not just in time, but also in space, and you would travel to that point in space at whatever time in the future they wanted you to go to. But what they found was that when you go towards the end of the year 2012, there's this flip-flopping of realities that happens, and it goes faster and faster to the point where on December 21st, 2012, these two different timelines that they saw would merge together so quickly that all you see is white light. You can't make anything out. It stops after 2012, mm-hmm. after the end of 2012, but up until December 21st, it goes faster and faster. And then they sent people through the vortex. There's people who've actually gone on these wormhole rides, and it's very similar to what you see in a movie like Stargate or Contact. That is actually what it looks like, and that's what people experience. But when these guys were going through these time tunnels, they would come up against what they called the discontinuity or the wall. And there is literally a bump of energy that these guys would encounter. There was a series of wavelengths that were their brain waves that would be coming out of the chair, and all those brainwave graphs would go flatline for 7 or 8 seconds when they'd hit this wall. But during those 7 or 8 seconds, as they're traveling forward in time into the future, you literally cannot go into the future without hitting this wall. Anytime you try to go past 2012, as you go through the time tunnel, you hit the wall.
It's like a firewall, then.
It is. And when they hit the wall for those 7 or 8 seconds that the graph goes flatline, they experience an absolute cosmic consciousness, this bliss beyond imagination, where they feel like they've merged with the galaxy. They could be a subatomic particle, or they could be a star, or they could be the whole galaxy. And they have no sense of time. It's totally euphoric. It's as if they have access to all knowledge in the universe. And it seems to go on for a vast amount of time. But then they get through it, and then they go on. And after that time, if you go forward from there, it appears that whatever reality you see is dependent upon the expectations of the person seeing it and the person operating the chair. There's no reality that is fixed after 2012.
So you don't see some calamity around that time period?
Honestly, no. I believe that that the highest levels of the secret power structure on Earth believe that there will be cataclysms. That's why they've spent so much money and time digging underground bases. Are DUMBs, right? Deep Underground Military Bases, DUMBS.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. I mean, these guys have got trains that are like the bullet trains in Japan that go from one side of the continent to the other, under the oceans. They're all over the place. These bases can run like 65,000 people, and they run on a breeder reactor that you could have inside a nuclear submarine. There's over 200 of them just in America.
So, but basically what you're saying is as we roll into this date in December of next year, it's going to be pretty uneventful.
I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's true at all. I did not say it would be uneventful. I just said it would not be cataclysmic. I think that what we're going through is a consciousness awakening.
Will we know that, though?
You bet your ass. Excuse my French, but... We're dealing with disclosure. We're dealing with extraterrestrials returning to humanity and announcing their presence.
Let's talk about that when we come back, David, because you on the program said some time ago that President Obama would be flanked by ETs and would let us all know what was going on. Let's find out when that's going to happen on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your phone calls with David Wilcock next hour. His latest work, The Source Field Investigations. Okay, David, a little over a year ago, you said that the president would make his disclosure about UFOs. It's not happened yet.
Well, that's an interesting story because we talked about this on the air, And then NBC comes out with The Event a year later. And that show is exactly what we were talking about. The president is in the show. We've got a group of extraterrestrials who look just like us, but apparently have a longer lifespan, that were captured and kept in this place called Camp Inostranka, which is Russian for the word extraterrestrial or alien. And the whole show is about the fact that some of them turn out to be negative, a lot of them are positive, and there's this insider war. But in the show, the first episode featured a black president who was obviously supposed to look like Obama, and he was about to make a disclosure announcement to humanity. And right before he did, there was an airplane that was flown at him, similar to 9/11, and then right before it was going to actually crash into him and destroy him and the extraterrestrial female that he was about to announce this with to the world, the plane goes through a vortex and it ends up in the Nevada desert, similar to where the Roswell crash was.
Right, right.
So I don't believe that they got this whole television show idea just from listening to Coast.
But maybe.
It's possible, but look, the intel that we had on that was very, very good. It was at a very high level.
You believed it.
I absolutely believed it. We had three different people from the inside independently saying this was going to happen, one of which was a very high-ranking member of one of the major networks, and the time had actually been booked on that network and many others for a two-hour special, and the whole thing had been planned out that there were going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of five different types of human from five different origins that Obama would introduce to humanity in a two-hour special.
They'd all be there.
Yeah, and some of them actually, they required a special type of optics in the room that would make them visible, because otherwise you can't see them with the naked eye. So that was part of what apparently would need to be done. The room would need to be prepared for some of these people to be visible.
What happened?
Well, look, we knew exactly when it was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be November 27th, 2009. We found out that there was a security breach. Some of these insider groups did not want it to go forward. Obama was very strongly threatened. And in fact, they tested this out by having that episode with the White House party crashers. Remember that these people...
Right, right. The lady, the blonde, and her husband.
That seems to have been Obama's own allies testing their security to see if somebody could get in there, like the lone gunman, to try to gun him down. And, of course, they found out that there was a security breach. It was not as tight as it should be. So then what happens is, just a few days after that, Obama was supposed to accept the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo, Norway, which he did. But the day before he accepted the Nobel Prize, we had the Norway spiral over the same area. Now, I had an opinion about the Norway spiral when it first happened, but I've since gotten very reliable testimony that the people who knew what that was realized that it was a threat to Obama, saying, if you make this announcement, if you think you're Mr. Hotshot and you're going to try to ride this Nobel Prize and then disclose extraterrestrials at the same time, wouldn't it be unfortunate if you're happening to ride an Air Force One and you drove into this, which we could make anywhere we want, anytime we want? So that apparently was a form of blackmail to get him not to do this. However, there are a whole series of new events that have taken place, which I've been documenting extensively on my website, which I call China's October Surprise. What a lot of people don't realize is that there is a massive counterinsurgency against what I lovingly call the old world order. And this would represent most of the free countries in the world who are not part of this IMF World Bank tyranny and are not prescribing significance to the old world order anymore. The main spearhead of this would be Russia, China, India, Brazil, South Africa, followed soon behind by a colloquium of all the countries in Central, Meso, and South America. There's this massive alliance that's formed, and now they're actually just hammering out the legalese and the fine points in the contract But what I'm hearing is that there is going to be a significant surrender. There is going to be mass arrests of people that have been responsible for financial chicanery. You're going to see absolutely civilization-defining events taking place. Again, the time window, I don't know. If I say when it is, it seems like that automatically starts to change the future.
Sure.
But the word that I keep hearing is that a lot of this stuff is supposed to happen before the end of the year. It could take longer than that. It could be on into next year. But it does appear that what will happen is that we're going to get a financial reboot, and the new financial system is going to be a currency backed with precious metals and a basket of other commodities. It appears that the actual currency will be run by China. It appears that there will be Chinese characters on the currency. And a lot of Americans are really not going to like that. And they're going to say, oh, my God, it's the New World Order. It's the Illuminati. It's this, it's that. What you have to remember is that this financial reboot is actually cleansing the system of all this toxicity that has made it to the point where I just spoke to somebody in upstate New York after my 20-year high school reunion, and he graduated from high school 3 years ago. And he said that half of the people he went to school with are on public assistance. They can't get a job.
I know. It's not easy out there right now, David.
I know. I mean, the book right now is less than $20, and we have that special for weeks after the debut, which was today, Tuesday, August 23rd. And I'm getting flamed like crazy on the internet because people don't want to spend $20 to buy a book. It's like, you know, you're not going to get this on websites. This is much better than anything that's out there for free. Just like if people want to hear Coast, you got to get Streamlink.
Well, it's
people
already
like, David, why don't you put the George Norrie show on your website and make it free?
Your book is on Amazon for only $17.61.
Exactly. And that's being subsidized by the publisher to try to get people to read the book and be interested in the book. It's going to go away in a few weeks, but right now it's actually being paid for by the publisher to stimulate orders. And, you know, we're doing great. I mean, at the rate we're going, if we get enough orders, we can get on the New York Times bestseller list, because what they do is they count up everything up until the book comes out and then a week afterwards. And it's nobody knows exactly how it works, but it's believed that you have to get 15,000 pre-orders. And we're already about halfway there right now.
Good for you.
I think getting on the front page of Huffington Post tomorrow is going to do wonders. I think this show is going to do wonders. I'm actually on Man Cow tomorrow, that radio program.
Oh, yeah. Tell Eric Kai for me.
I will. And then there's another show coming up later in the week that's got millions of listeners as well. And I forget what it's called right now, but I've got a crazy radio schedule this week. I'm doing at least one show a day.
What's new with the movie Convergence?
Well, that's an interesting story, too. All this stuff is, quote-unquote, converging, because we finally, after 2 years of tinkering on this, have gotten the script where we want it. And just today, I got the final draft sent to me from Jim Hart, who's the guy that wrote Contact with Carl Sagan.
Mm-hmm.
Took 2 years to write that, too. So I guess we're in good company here. So that film is going forward. We already have investors where it's clean money, not connected to Illuminati, New World Order type stuff. Basically, all we have to do is just get the script nailed down, and now it seems like we have. I have to read it. I have to do an approval on it. But once I do that approval, then we can move forward and get production financing. So then everybody says, well, how long is it going to take from there? And the answer is, depending on casting and who we try to get, because we are going to be shopping for A-list actors. In some cases, if you get somebody you really want and they're not ready to work right away, you might have to wait several months for them. But if all goes well, we should be able to get this thing out by about a year from now. So it will be before the end of 2012, which would be nice.
It would be nice.
But look, I still plan on having a career in 2013. I do not think the Earth is going to be destroyed. I do believe there's a shift going on. Look at John Hawks, this anthropologist from the University of Wisconsin, who proved that in the last 5,000 years, human evolution is moving 100 times faster than it was back then in 3,000 BC.
Well, it seems to be moving quicker and quicker and
absolutely
quicker.
And he documented a 7% change in the actual microbiological structure of our DNA. the DNA itself has changed by 7%.
You believe the pyramids could function as time machines. I wanted to ask you about that.
That's a very interesting question, yeah. To sort of go into that, we have to talk about Ivan Sanderson, who was a scientist in the 1960s, a fringe scientist,
That's
by the
right.
way.
That's right, very fringe.
And he investigated where all the planes were disappearing out of the air and where all the ships were disappearing on the ocean. And he charted it all out and found that there were 10 different zones on Earth where this was happening. And then if you add the North and South Pole, you have 12. The interesting thing about these 12 zones is that they're all equidistant from each other, meaning that if you play connect the dots, you get a symmetrical geometric pattern, which is called an icosahedron. It's basically 20 equilateral triangles, kind of looks like a disco ball or something. So that pattern is essentially, like I said, this vibration that moves through the Earth from higher dimensions. Richard Hoagland has been going through this for years and years and years on Coast, back when I was just a fan and listening in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing him talk about this. Now I finally feel like I understand it.
Well, now you're talking about it.
Yeah, the key is the hyperdimensional, the reason why this geometry shows up is because it's a spin in the gravitational field. The gravity is flowing into the Earth, and as it flows in, it rotates, and it rotates in this geometric pattern. Now, why would that have anything to do with time? The answer is that where the vortex points, where the gravity is rotating the most, it gives atoms and molecules that extra kick that can pop them over the light speed boundary, where they can dematerialize from our reality and move into this other reality where time is three-dimensional. And again, I got some really nasty emails on the break. Some of your listeners really don't like what I'm saying, but you don't have to assume that in one four-hour show or three-hour show that I'm going to cover even one hundredth of what this case really says.
What do you mean they don't like what you're saying? They don't like your message?
I mean, you know, I'm looking at this email right here, and this guy is saying, he's just flaming me like crazy and saying, you know, you're an idiot and you think time travel is possible. It can't be possible. He says that, you know, nice enough, but you're so naive, all this stuff. I understand that this is unconventional. I understand that it's difficult to accept this stuff. But there are people on the inside who have had to deal with this as a fact for over 60 years. And they didn't know what the heck was going on either, but they had to figure out how to explain it scientifically. And that's what they've been working on all this time. And I've been speaking to these people, and I used some of their knowledge in how I wrote the book. Now, again, I was very careful to not violate any national security oaths in how I wrote this. What I did is I heard from these guys, and then I went back to research sources that were publicly available. And I assembled the case from conventionally available information. But if you look at where all these pyramids, there's over 3,300 different sacred stone monuments on Earth that these Russian scientists identified in the 1970s. And they all are built on that grid I was talking about that originates from these 12 vortex points where planes and ships disappear.
Now, are the pyramids on one of those grids?
Absolutely. Like I said, all 3,300 ancient stone monuments, no matter what you're looking at, Stonehenge, Easter Island.
They're all on one of them.
They're all on the grid. So the grid appears to be a conduit between space and time, and the pyramid specifically seems to be acting like a funnel. The gravitational energy that makes the pyramid, it has to flow into every molecule in the pyramid. And as it does, it creates a vortex funnel, like a whirlpool inside the pyramid. The word pyramid is literally, it means pyre amid, or fire in the middle.
Whoever built these things, how did they know how to build them there?
Well, that's why you got to go watch my Source Field Investigations video, because I show the original Egyptian gods, all the way up through like the 15th dynasty, including people like Akhenaten and Nefertiti, and they all have these skulls that the shape of their head is about twice as big as a normal human skull. And we found the skulls. We found them in Peru. We found them in France. We found them in Siberia. These skulls appear all over the earth. There were skulls found in South Africa, in a town called Boskop that was covered by Discover magazine. They said that these people would have had little childlike faces and very large heads. but they were given reverential burial, like they were revered spiritual leaders. So it appears that the pyramids were built by people who otherwise look like us. This would include King Tut. I show in the video, and again, that video is free. It's 2 hours. You don't have to pay anything to see it. You look at the side view of King Tut from some of these sculptures of him, and he's got a really big skull. So I believe that we're dealing with human extraterrestrials that are all throughout the galaxy because, again, DNA is a quantum emergent phenomenon. It's not local to the Earth. It's a galactic phenomenon. Human beings are all over the place. So they've been coming here for many thousands of years, and they always keep teaching us, love thy neighbor as thyself, the basic Christian message. It shows up in all the monotheistic religions. And they are the authors of that. They have been coming here, and they keep giving us the same message. And the message keeps coming back to that we're evolving into light beings, and they tell us when that is expected to happen. And the timeline is somewhere around the end of this big 25,000-year cycle, and some scholars quibble over that, but it definitely seems like the weight of evidence is that it's at the end of the year 2012. So it's a very exciting thing to look forward to. I don't see it as a disaster. I see it as fulfilling many prophecies, and as I said before, there's 160,000 documented cases of people going in the light body. And
yeah,
in the book,
I don't deny that.
I have a lot of documentation in the book about time travelers, about people who, like there was a case of a crop circle, more than one crop circle case where humans are seen around the crop circles, but then they do things that human beings shouldn't be able to do, such as running much, much too fast. And then you see a UFO take off. There are cases of time travelers walking up to people when they've had some sort of time slip event where they actually slip out of our reality into this time space, this parallel reality where time is three-dimensional, and they meet the time travelers over there. So I have some stories like that in the book. And I believe that all of us who go through this transformative process will be able to move through time space or space time. So we will be able to time travel. And I think that in a real sense, many of the extraterrestrials that are here now are us. Time traveling back from the future, visiting ourselves now, but there are rules in play. The rules that are established by the mind of the Earth, the mind of our sun, the mind of the galaxy, and that collective energetic mind from these celestial bodies, which if everything is intelligent, if it's all designed by intelligent source field energy, then obviously a planet has intelligence. The planet is telling these ETs or these time travelers from the future to not make themselves openly known to us until the bell rings at the end of the cycle. And that means that the tree has finally fruited. We finally have reached a point energetically where it's the right time for the dismantling of negativity on Earth. The Zoroastrian prophecy of end times says that evil is eliminated by the concentrated efforts of the just and that it kind of withers on its way out. It doesn't happen all in one sudden moment, but it's a long struggle. And I think, again, that if you look at what's happening on Earth right now and you have a keen eye for the politics, there's all this Chicken Little stuff out there. Everybody's saying, oh, my God, the economy. You know, the government just announced that, oh, we're going to be defaulting on Social Security payments pretty soon, yada, yada, yada. Well, all of this stuff is because there's a revolution taking place in the world. The financial system's going to get rebooted, and it will be much better for everyone once it does.
Phone calls next with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM.